WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. As health districts in some parts of Virginia plan to begin the next phase of vaccinations, we had a record high in new COVID-19 cases in the state over the weekend. And the Shenandoah Valley continues to be a hotspot for the virus. We've got to look at the numbers. State Democratic lawmakers call for Amanda Chase's resignation after she attended the run-up to last week's insurrection at the Capitol. And some in the state's congressional delegation are considering several paths to removing President Trump from office. And high school basketball teams in our area started playing games last week in a season shortened and restricted by the pandemic. This is the WMRA Daily for Monday, January 11th. Virginia is reporting record numbers of new COVID-19 cases and hospitalizations. The Virginia Department of Health reported more than 5,100 new cases on Sunday. Saturday's was the highest one-day total yet since the pandemic began, with 5,798 new cases in Virginia. On Sunday, a record 3,615 people were hospitalized due to the virus, according to the Virginia Public Access Project. Parts of the Shenandoah Valley are now getting hit harder. Lexington and Harrisonburg now rank 4th and 5th, respectively, statewide in the number of cases by population. Lexington has now reported more than 9.1 cases per 100 people. Harrisonburg is close behind with just over 9 cases per 100 since the pandemic began. And the death rate statewide continues to climb since November. The Washington Post reports that on Saturday, 69 people died from the disease. As of Sunday, a total of 5,383 Virginians are confirmed or believed to have died from the virus since the pandemic began. That number is more than the entire population of the town of Woodstock. Meanwhile, some health districts say they will move to the next phase of vaccinations. The numbers of vaccinations administered is climbing steadily, and officials say more people have been vaccinated than is reflected by the cumbersome data reporting software. In Virginia, at least 156,000 first doses were administered as of Saturday. This first phase of vaccinations includes healthcare personnel and people living and working in long-term care facilities. Public health districts in northern and southwestern Virginia say they are ready to begin the second phase of vaccine distribution. That would begin to vaccinate people 75 and older, those living in prison, detention or homeless shelters, and frontline essential workers, including police and rescue personnel, just to name a few that are listed in phase two. Liberty University sued Governor Ralph Northam on Friday, accusing his administration of wrongfully denying financial aid to some of the evangelical school's online students. Northam and the Democratic-controlled General Assembly implemented a budget change last year that made incoming students enrolled exclusively in online programs ineligible for the state's long-running tuition assistance grant program for Virginia residents. Exempted from the change were students who had to shift their studies online due to the coronavirus pandemic. Students at Liberty, which has an enormous and lucrative online presence, had been the leading recipients of the grant for years, and the change became a sore spot for the university and its former president, Jerry Falwell Jr., who repeatedly lashed out at Northam. The lawsuit alleges that the eligibility changes were designed specifically to harm Liberty, that asks the court to stop the exclusion of online students from the grant program, saying that violates the Equal Protection Clause of the 14th Amendment. Democrats in Virginia's Senate are calling for the resignation of Amanda Chase. They say the Chesterfield senator, who is also running for governor, violated her oath of office by attending the run-up to last Wednesday's riot in Washington, D.C. From partner station VPM, Ben Pavier reports.
Democrats in Virginia's Senate say Republican Amanda Chase committed insurrection by addressing the crowd and marching with them to Capitol Hill. Chase, who is also running for Virginia governor, did not appear to join the mob that raided the Capitol. But she's referred to the rioters as both patriots and Antifa plants. Chase did not respond to a request for comment. Lawmakers from a handful of states, including Michigan, Missouri, and Pennsylvania, are facing similar calls to resign after making the trip to D.C. That includes a West Virginia lawmaker who filmed himself storming the Capitol. Ben Pavier, WMRA News.
Meanwhile, Congress is considering several efforts to remove the president from office. Virginia Public Radio's Michael Pope spoke with some members of Virginia's delegation.
Democrats in Virginia's congressional delegation are united in their support for figuring out a way to remove President Trump from office as soon as possible. Richmond area Congressman Donald McEachin says even if a trial happens after his presidency is over, impeaching Trump is important to prevent him from ever holding office again.
Nixon paid no real price for Watergate, and can we allow another chief executive not to pay a price for his illegal and, in this case, seditious actions?
When asked if Trump should be removed from office, 1st District Republican Congressman Rob Wittman responded,
"That's not a congressional role."
But would you support the 25th Amendment being invoked?
"That's not up to me as to whether I support it or not. It's up to the vice president and cabinet member. So Congress does not have a role."
You don't have a vote in it. Do you support it?
Congress does not have a role there. It's not a place for members of Congress. I think it's a dangerous place for members of Congress to get involved and say, "I think that these things should be invoked." That's up to the vice president in the cabinet.
Virginia Democrats in Congress say they want to pursue both the 25th Amendment and impeachment simultaneously. Michael Pope.
The Virginia Crime Commission says legislators should eliminate all mandatory minimum sentences. The Virginia Mercury reports that lawmakers will introduce the sweeping proposal when the General Assembly convenes this week. It would eliminate mandatory jail and prison terms for 224 offenses, ranging from drunken driving to child rape. Lawmakers on the commission who backed the proposal, all Democrats, called it an important step to restoring sentencing discretion to local judges and juries. 2020 exposed the need for eviction prevention measures in Virginia. Now a set of rules and relief programs are in place that could help both landlords and tenants cope with financial challenges this year. From Virginia Public Radio, Kat Modlin Jackson reports.
When the General Assembly wrapped up its special session last fall, members enacted a set of pandemic-related eviction protections and set aside millions for the state's rent and mortgage relief program. Marty Wegbright with Central Virginia Legal Aid calls it a pay-and-stay system rather than the old way of go and owe.
That's going to benefit both parties, and rent gets paid. The tenant gets to stay. We protect the public against further spread of COVID-19.
He explains that landlords are required to give tenants who are behind a written notice about their balance, information about rental assistance programs, and 14 days to pay what's due. Larger landlords must also offer the option of a payment plan. And starting on the 1st of this year, a new rule took effect.
Now that we're into January, landlord has to be the one who applies for rent relief on behalf of the tenant unless the tenant's already done so.
Wegbright notes that tenant cooperation is necessary and advises renters to have landlords file on their behalf.
It's actually a lot quicker for landlords to apply for rent relief than for tenants.
A federal moratorium on evictions for non-payment that was set to expire at the end of December has been extended through the end of January. I'm Kat Modlin Jackson.
Information about Virginia's rent and mortgage relief program is available at stayhomevirginia.com. Finally today, high school basketball teams in our area started playing games last week in a season shortened and restricted by the pandemic. WMRA's Randy B. Hagee reports.
Spotswood's varsity girls basketball team played their first game of the season last Tuesday, winning 48-44 over Turner Ashby. It's been a mad dash for them to prepare for competition, as they were only cleared to begin practices on December 7th, and couldn't even practice defense with their own teammates until later that month.
Between March and December, we were only allowed to do some workouts, but we weren't allowed to play defense. We weren't allowed to pass the ball for a long time. We could do individual stuff, where in a normal season, we would have played 40 to 50 games in the offseason, and we would have had a chance to really know who we were, establish new roles.
Head coach Chris Dodson said that all the Rockingham County players are required to wear masks during practices and games.
When you put it on, you do your best with it. You're either in shape or you're not, and whether you have that mask on or not, it's going to make it tougher to breathe. But for the most part, none of our kids have really complained about that.
Spotswood senior Abby Branner said that, on the bright side, the flexibility of virtual education gives her more time to practice.
Now that we got the go-ahead to play, we're really excited, and now we're a lot more motivated to just get better and better each day.
Dodson said that, besides having a shorter season than normal, they'll also have fewer teams to play.
We can play people if they will wear a mask when we play them. So the thing right now is our whole schedule is Turner Ashby, East Rock, Broadway, TA East Rock, Broadway. Wilson Memorial agreed to play us one time, and then TA East Rock and Broadway. So right now, Waynesboro, Stanton, Hanley, other schools have said, we won't put a mask on to play you.
That's how it stands currently, as Stanton High School leaves it up to the individual player whether or not they wear a mask in practices and games. However, Stanton's head coach, Eric Payne, said it's not entirely out of the question for them to play Rockingham teams this season.
Everything's subject to change. It's like everything changes every day. You know, my AD might come to me and say, hey, you wanna add this to the schedule, but it seems like, yeah, it's gonna just play within our district.
The Stanton varsity girls faced Riverheads High School last Friday to kick off their season. They lost 54-40. Payne said he was feeling
a little unprepared and unsure, you know. We've been trying to do things, you know, over the summer, but, you know, I haven't had a full number of young ladies show up. But we're just going to do the best we can do. You know, I tell them my joke about LeBron James. We're going to get some baby powder. I'm going to throw it in there and blow on it, and we'll just go and see what happens.
Emma Witt is a junior at Stanton High School. The whole season, she said,
it's different. It kind of sucks. I'm going towards my 1,000 points this year, and with only 13 games, I'm pushing it even more because my goal was to get it my junior year. But, you know, I'm just blessed that we have the games we have and that we were just had the opportunity to play in the first place.
Before Friday's game, Stanton senior Keziah Williams reflected on how different the season has been.
It's very different this year. I mean, I'm kind of upset. It's my last year and it's not the same. But, I mean, I'm happy we do have a chance to play and we have something, at least for now. So I'm kind of excited, but I'm a little bit nervous considering we haven't had as much time to prepare as the previous years.
The ladies are working hard. We are doing some good things in practice and just making memories. I keep telling we're making memories. We can't control this virus. We just control what we do. So yeah, I'm looking to have a good time, and with that, I hope we have success.
For WMRA News, I'm Randy B. Hagee.
You'll find that story and much more in local news posted at WMRA.org and on the app. For WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. Thanks for listening. Stay safely connected. And enjoy your Monday.